Beloved friends, have you ever considered the infinite heart of God? We may raise the question, how can a human creature measure the greatness of God? In Psalm 139, many others have recognized the relative attributes of God are revealed by the psalmist. Three of them in number. There is the attribute of God's omniscience, which is revealed in verses 1 through 6, exalting his great eternal intellect. For his knowledge is perfect. God knows everything, and he knows everyone with infinite perfection. In conclusion of his argument, the psalmist confesses, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And we must confess the same conclusion. In verses 7 through 12, the attribute of God's omnipresence is declared by the inspired writer. He tells us that God is everywhere. His presence fills the universe, even though men may be unconscious of the fact. There is no place in God's great universe where any of us can get away from him, whether in the highest pinnacle of heaven or even in the lowest abyss in hell. For the psalmist rightly concludes, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And it is colossal folly for any person to assume the possibility of ever hiding from God. In verses 13 through 16 of Psalm 139, the attribute of God's omnipotence is stated, telling of his eternal power. He is the God of all might. He is the God of all strength. But who of us can comprehend it? He has flung the vast universe of worlds into space by the word of his power, and all of it is in its orderly creation. He did it just as easily as he would cast a single grain of sand away from his hand. For truly how great he is. He is the everlasting God. He is the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding, according to Isaiah 40 and verse 28. But there is a truth of greater importance and wonder for us to know, as well as to appreciate, than even these great eternal attributes we have just mentioned. There is the revelation of his infinite heart, which the psalmist declares to us in verses 17 and 18. Listen to his words. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. For in addition to his great attributes of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, greater still to us are God's thoughts. For frankly, what are thoughts but the perfect revelation of what the heart is? Did not the wise man write in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he? We may certainly state that God's thoughts toward us can be but the amazing unfolding of his great eternal heart. There are three great facts concerning the infinite heart of God and his thoughts towards us, clearly stated in these verses of Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. First of all, the psalmist declares their incomparable value. He tells us they are precious, meaning they are priceless. Does not the psalmist declare, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God? And who is able to place a true valuation upon God's thoughts. It has often been quoted by human beings, and perhaps by ourselves to others, a penny for your thoughts. But then we often wonder how valuable are some of our thoughts. They can often be declared to be exceedingly worthless. But this can never be said of God's thoughts. They are infinitely and eternally precious. But then in our verses, the psalmist also declares their inconceivable direction. He indicates the direction. Thy thoughts are unto me, O God. Is not this sovereign grace and matchless love, that God should ever direct his thoughts toward me and toward you, toward one who is but a speck of dust in his sight, a finite, a weak human being, and one that has proved to be unworthy of even his consideration because of sin? Yet the truth is unchanged. The inconceivable direction of God's great eternal love and the thoughts of his heart, we can say they are all toward me. We can well agree with the words of the poet when he declared so simply but pointedly, how thou canst think so well of me and be the God thou art is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. A third fact the psalmist reveals concerning God's thoughts towards us is their incomprehensible number, as he declares the words, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Now we raise the question, who could ever possibly be able to count the grains of sand that are upon the earth? That would be an utter human impossibility, which we know. Not even a handful of sand and the grains that it would contain could ever be counted. But even beyond all computation are the numberless thoughts of God's great, eternal, and infinite heart for his creatures. Is it any wonder that when one is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do expect that we shall spend eternal ages ever going on and on and on and on, seeking to know God and doing as the Savior said in John 17:3, knowing thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Yet though it is impossible for us to comprehend and count all of God's thoughts towards us, there are five precious grains of truth that are mentioned in the book of Psalms upon which our hearts can meditate with delight and blessing. They reveal God's thoughts towards us in their preciousness and in a wonderful, wonderful order. The Spirit of God has marvelously planted these thoughts and truths in the book of Psalms in order to assure us that God's thoughts towards his creatures, they are precious. The Spirit of God uses this word precious in five other places, in five scriptures in the book of Psalms. Let us consider them in what I believe is their spiritual and their moral order of importance. In Psalm 72 and verse 14, I learn, as the psalmist writes, that God values my life. It is precious to him. Here are the words. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. This is a messianic psalm, one that prophetically describes the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious reign, when he shall be reigning over the earthly kingdom below. But what a contrast that coming day of righteousness is to what now prevails in the present kingdoms of the earth. Today the earth is filled, as we well know, with deceit and with violence. Human life today has never been so lightly valued. But from the beginning of human history, God has always set a value upon human life. His own divine and moral laws of the Old Testament in the Pentateuch of the Scriptures, they indicate that God holds man responsible to value human life. But how many have failed? How great is the failure of humanity? But let the words of Psalm 72 and verse 14 remind us they are still true in relation to God's thoughts concerning us. Precious shall their blood be in His sight. Someday these words will be literally fulfilled in the day of Christ's coming kingdom of righteousness, when He will rule with a rod of iron and manifest His valuation of human life. But may we state that even today, any individual can say, on the basis of these words, God values my life. Let it never be denied that God does not concern Himself with human life, nor care about the conditions that surround the human race. He does care. And every human being should say, precious in God's sight is my life, for He is my Creator. But there is another scripture in Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8, where we have another precious thought from God's heart. This tells me that God not only values my life, but He values my soul. We read the words telling us that though men trust in their wealth and they may boast in their riches, yet none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, priceless. Yes, what shall it profit a man, said the Lord Jesus, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now if God values human life, we must also confess that He places greater value on the eternal soul of His creatures whom He has made. It is plainly evident that the value of my soul is far greater than all the accumulated wealth of this world in the sight of God. I cannot purchase my soul's redemption, and neither can I purchase my brother's redemption through the valuation of this world's goods, for the price is too great for me to ever provide. But praise God, He Himself has provided my redemption. He has valued my soul as being precious and proved it. But how? Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Then how do I know that God values my soul? Could I ever begin to measure the infinite valuation? Too great price. What a great price. Yes, the great price of the death of His only begotten Son upon the cross is the only standard of measurement, a measureless one in its breadth, in its length, and in its depth, and in its height. But it displays to my amazing soul that the price of my redemption was the infinite gift of God's great heart of love when He gave His Son to die for me. What a price! He paid for my redemption, bearing the penalty for my sins in His own body upon the tree. What can I but say? Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, and shed for me. Yes, God values my soul. In Psalm 133, we find that God values my fellowship with His beloved people. Here are the words of verses 1 and 2. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. These words describe the spiritual fellowship that should prevail amongst the redeemed people of God. Dispensationally, these words of Psalm 133 point to the happy day when the nation of Israel will be restored and blessed under the reign of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will be king over all the earth. What a time of happy fellowship and unity that will be. But typically, the words are a beautiful illustration of what transpired on the day of Pentecost, when the church upon the earth was inaugurated on the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven above, as it is described in Acts chapter 2. That was the inauguration of the body of Christ, the Spirit baptizing the believers into that one body in blessed union with Christ the head in heaven above. The psalm before us describes the precious ointment, that liquefiable anointing oil that was poured upon Aaron's head when by Moses he was installed as the high priest in Israel. That anointing oil was precious. It poured out its fragrance upon Aaron's head. It ran down to the skirts of his garments. How typical in like manner the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was, saturating the saints with his presence and power. And as they dwelt together, how precious and fragrant it was to the heart of God and to the heart of Christ, the head of the church in heaven above. Every saint could then say, God values my fellowship, a fellowship that is mine together with every other redeemed one. But is it not sad to confess but true that that wonderful, precious unity and fragrance of fellowship in the days of the early church has long since been lost in its fullness? But the truth still remains that if any faithful body of saints would dwell together in unity, God's declaration of its fragrance is this: how precious. We could raise the question, how much do I as a Christian value Christian fellowship? God values my fellowship with his people. But in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, I learn another thing. The precious fact that God values my service. Not only my life, not only my soul, not only my fellowship. He values my service I may do for him. He that goeth forth and weepeth, writes the psalmist, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a wonderful and perfect picture this is of the sower, carrying his seed basket, sowing the seed, but particularly the one who sows the good seed of the Word of God in the field of this world, and who may be sowing beside all waters. The sowing of the good seed of the Word of God may often be accompanied by testings, trials, and even weeping. How much the early believers in the early church suffered at the hands of their antagonists is recorded in the book of Acts, we well know. But nevertheless, the good seed that they distributed, the good seed of the Word of God, multiplied, and many others were added unto the Lord. What a seed basket the Word of God is. What a great promise God has given in the using of it. Has he not said that my word shall not return unto me void, but that it will accomplish that unto which I have sent it, as written in Isaiah 55, and particularly verses 10 and 11? Certainly, here is the assurance that faithful service, when it is found, will be blessed. And in the words of the beloved Apostle Paul, as he writes them in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, listen to his encouraging words. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto them, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. All my service, according to the word of God, whether it seems small or great, when it is done as to the Lord, it is precious in his sight, for God values my service. But there is an amazing climax to the divine valuation that God places upon me, which we have recorded in Psalm 116, verse 15. listen to these words. You'll never find them penned in any other book. But by divine inspiration, God has written through his servant saying, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, who but the Lord himself could ever think of saying and making such a statement concerning the death of anyone? By nature, this experience is contrary to human thinking, to call it precious. But we remember that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are our ways his ways. His are far greater. Yet when God witnesses the death of one of his saints, their departure from this life, though it never may be found written in the obituaries of earth, it is written in his word, the death of that saint to him is precious. That death may be the source of great sorrow to those below, but no matter the circumstances surrounding the death of one of his children, it may be a painful death, it may be a sudden death, it may not be, whatever kind, to him, when the saint departs this scene, it is precious. For it brings that believer into his eternal presence, where they will be with him forever. What a welcome he would give to that child of his, as she or he may enter into his eternal presence. The earth may mourn over the great loss, but heaven rejoices over receiving a great gain. For another saint will have gone to be with Christ, which according to the word of God in Philippians 1:23 is far better. How blessed to let me repeat this truth to my own soul. God values my death. Oh, the joy of knowing my death as well as my life is not forgotten by him. Now we have covered but five precious grains of eternal truth, revealing the infinite heart of God in some measure to me. We recapitulate them. First of all, we have found in Psalm 72 and verse 14, God values my life. My blood is precious in his sight. And may I say very faithfully, the shedding of human blood that has stained the earth is yet in a day of judgment to be recompensed by a divine retributive act of justice from a holy God above. The blood of innocent victims cries out to God above, and someday, and what a terrible day of judgment it will be for those who have been the unfortunate persons to commit such violent deeds. But God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But I can say that even today, God values my life. Precious in his sight is my blood. Then second, we have learned from Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8, that God values my soul. I am and I possess an eternal soul. And though no man could ever redeem me and give to God a ransom for my soul, and I could not do it for myself, yet he has found and provided a blessed, perfect redemption for my soul, which is precious. The cost of it? The precious blood of his own dear Son upon the tree of Calvary, measureless in its breadth, in its length, in its depth, in its height. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my beloved friend, if never you have found from experience how much God values your soul, will you not permit the Spirit of God to convince you of your valuation, rather than see you go to an eternal hell? The God against whom you and I have sinned has provided in infinite grace and matchless love, without money and without price upon our part, the price of our redemption. And we can say indeed that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. But then also we have learned from Psalm 133 that God values my fellowship. I'm one with all believers. I am one with all the children that are in the Father's family. And by the Holy Spirit, he has formed that wonderful unity of the body of Christ. And when saints will dwell together in happy fellowship, to heaven above, the fragrance of it, to God's heart is precious. We should certainly declare this fragrance of Christian fellowship needs to be revived today amongst God's people. Fourth, we learn from Psalm 126, he values my service. Every possible way that I may serve him, spreading the precious seed of his word, telling forth and making known his truth, when done as unto the Lord, I can leave the results for eternity with him. I may not see the results here, but I must sow. I may not see it grow, but scatter seeds of precious truth everywhere you go. Sow, and God will fruit bestow, and it will keep your heart aglow. Sow. But the gathering in of the golden sheaves will come in the harvest day. And as the psalmist declares, we shall come rejoicing, bringing with us our sheaves. What a day that will be! And the faithful servant will find it was never in vain to serve the Lord. He values, though many others may not, he values my service. Last of all, when life upon earth is over, my service below is ended, and I depart from this scene, he values my death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. My life, then, from the beginning to the end, is precious to him. Certainly we can say with the psalmist, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. We may be reminded again their incomparable value, precious, priceless beyond our computation, their inconceivable direction. Every one of us individually can say, unto me, and then their incomprehensible number, more in number than the sand. And yet there's one thing that still follows at the end of verse 18. God declares, as the psalmist uses these words, when I awake, I'm still with thee. May I suggest, when the sleep of death may overtake the believer, where will that believer awake? That believer will be wide awake in the presence of God forever. For in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, said the psalmist in Psalm 16 and verse 11. But in that moment, when I shall awake in spirit and soul in the presence of God, I shall have an eternal alertness of mind and heart and comprehension far better than I have now of my God. And I shall go on living forever and ever, knowing more of his infinite love and knowing greater things about his infinite and great eternal heart. I can well say, in the words of the poet again, how thou shouldst think so well of me, and be the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. Shall we pray? Blessed Father, we lift our hearts in gratitude. The word of God reveals thy great thoughts towards us. Our Father, help us to enter into thy thoughts concerning thy children. And may we truly have these hearts of ours, small as they may be, overflowing with the knowledge of what God is to his beloved people. The great display of thy loving heart was manifested in its fullness when Christ, thy beloved Son, died to save us. May we who are thy children enter more into the infinite heart of our Father above, by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, for our Savior's glory we ask it. Amen.